The program is Finding God's Grace. This is Tony Agnese. My guest is Philip Keller, who has a podcast called Blind Faith Live. You may know Philip as Trapper Jack, who is on Cleveland radio for 25 years in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, year before that. But Philip, let's talk a little bit about your own faith journey. I know you talked in the first segment about the fact that you yourself are blind, and I think that's what kind of led you to the thought of healing ministry and so forth. Give us a little background on your own personal journey with Christ.
Sure. Well, God's first sense of humor with me was my birth announcement, which says, it shows a baby holding a microphone, and it says a new voice is on the air. Age 8, I was going to be a sportscaster. I'm glad that didn't work out. Blind sportscasters, not a huge demand.
Not a big demand, no.
Sounds like a long fly ball to the left. I could be wrong. You know, it just doesn't fly. High school, I just fell in love with Johnny Carson. I watched thousands of hours of Johnny, and I thought, now there's a way to make a living. So at age 18 or 19, I went off to broadcasting school. And I remember I came back to live in my folks had to be living in Utah at the time. They moved around a lot, but they were there. And I remember saying to my dad, I'd go to mass, and it was one of those, you know, and every parent's heard it. I'm not getting a lot out of it, you know. Mm-hmm. So I said to my dad, Dad, I'm not getting anything out of the mass, and so I'm not going to go anymore. And dad said, well, then you can't live under my roof. Do dads still say things like that?
I don't think so, but you wish they would. I don't think so.
And this idiot, me, said, okay, then I'm out of here. It's like, I'm an idiot. I leave this very nice middle-class home to go live in a palatial $60 a month apartment. I mean, it was just, and it's not as nice as it sounds, you know. Mm-hmm. Even though I'd gone to mass every Sunday and communion every Sunday and confession every couple of months, and I did everything good Catholics do, something wasn't connecting. It just was not connecting. There were certain things I didn't get. One of them, a big one, was, okay, Christ died on the cross. I believed he was God. I believed everything about him. I believed he was God. I believed he died on the cross. I believed he rose in 3 days. I believed all those things. I just didn't get the why. I just didn't understand the why. Because you go, okay, he died on the cross. So I look out in the world, still evil, still killing going on, still evil is going. So what impact did you have? Nothing. I don't see it. I'm not seeing it. And it wasn't until I was, 48 years old, and I meet Dr. Namy, and he starts explaining to me about how Christ reconciled what Lucifer had done, how we reconcile the fallen angels, how we are muting evil. Now, this is fascinating, Tony, because this is backed up by science. Dr. Namy used to talk about how, you know, every time someone dies a believer, it takes a bite out of the evil in the world, and it mutes it. It neutralizes it, and over time, we're building towards a time in when all evil will be gone. And once again, I'm looking out going, what are you talking about? There's evil everywhere. People are still killing, still wars, all that kind of stuff. And then I see this Harvard psychology professor. He's doing a TED Talk, and he's up there, and he's like the expert on violence, historically violence. And I'm listening to him give his talk, and I'm dazzled by it because from a secular viewpoint, this guy's on board. He says, when you look at the likelihood of dying at the hands of another human being, he's got charts. And he says, here, you know, this is Old Testament time, and he's talking about the horrible violence of the Old Testament, and he's talking about from the time of Christ on, and he's talking about all these wars and people dying. He says, but look what happens here. He says, World War II was really the last time the world did go to war with, and tens of millions of people died. He says, but look what's happened since then. He says, superpowers don't go to war against superpowers anymore. The murder rate in the last 20 years has been cut in half. And he says, you know what, folks? You know what the stats show? We now live in the most peaceful time the world has ever known. I just wish we knew what we were doing right. What we are doing right is dying believers. What we are doing right is we are muting evil as we die. Here, Tony, is another... May I ask you a question, Tony?
Sure.
Here is one of the greatest questions out there that is not being asked, other than around what I'm doing, and that is this. Why does evil, the fallen angels, hate us? Why do they hate us? Why do they want our soul? Why don't they go after raccoons? Mm-hmm. I mean, what is it about our soul? Because keep in mind, evil by its nature is selfish. Evil by its nature is what's in it for me. That is evil. Sin is what's in it for me. Something is going to please me. I want that, and therefore, that is evil, that is sin. It's always about me. So when you ask yourself, okay, what is it about me? What is it about my soul that a fallen angel wants what I have? And it's interesting, and I don't know if you've met people along the way, Tony, who can see things like angels, good ones, bad ones, and all that, but it was interesting. I was talking to a woman who sees these things, and there are those people who do. And she was at the bedside of someone who was dying, and she said, and this was right when she at the kind of the beginning of being able to see this stuff, and she was, what's the word? She was just blown away by seeing the good angels and the bad angels in this frenzy over this soul. Apparently, this guy was kind of borderline which way he was going. It hadn't really been determined yet that the evil was still there and the good guys are there, and she's watching this. And once again, I go back to, now why? Why is this frenzy over our soul? The only reason, because they're selfish, they either are going to gain something by getting our soul. I think it's more than an attaboy from Lucifer. I don't think they're getting $100 a head. Or they are totally afraid of losing something when we go to Christ. And the answer is the latter. Because the fact of the matter is, whether it was Lucifer at the cross when Christ died, or when we die, if we go to Christ, they feel it. They feel a weakening. It goes back to what the psychology professor said. They feel a weakening of their influence. That's why they want us. Did you see Passion of the Christ?
No, I did not.
There's a character in there for anybody who saw the Mel Gibson movie. And I don't know how Mel Gibson knew this. I don't know what he read. I don't know. There's this real evil character, this guy is always wearing a hood. He's kind of albino-ish, bony-ish. I don't know. He's supposed to represent evil, basically, whether it's Lucifer, I don't know, but he represents evil. And during this whole movie, you just see his evil is kind of like, I want Jesus dead. I want this guy dead. I want this good guy dead. You just see this dripping evil. And then when he does die, when he dies on the cross, when Christ dies on the cross, this guy should be jumping up and down for joy. He doesn't. He looks up to the heavens, like into the face of God, and lets out this angry, mean howl, just ticked. And you go, wait a minute, why? Because he just felt it. He just found out who that man was, really is. And he just felt his power being weakened. Now, if this is the first time you've ever heard that and you go, I've never heard that before and that sounds like nonsense, just kind of run it through the mind for a little while and see if that doesn't make sense, because that's this man who I talked about who prays and things happen. That was his inspiration. That's what he knows, and I am totally on board with it. It just adds up with everything else. There's got to be a reason they want us. Mm-hmm. There's got to be a reason evil wants us.
Let's talk a little bit about the some of the episodes in Blind Faith Live. Give us a sense.
Sure.
I when you say you're over 80 episodes, does each episode feature a different person, or has been affected, how does that exactly work, Philip?
Each episode has a miracle moment, at least one person. Sometimes there's a group of people, because sometimes people lead other people, mm-hmm. and there's which I call miracle moment. There's an Isom's Insight where Dr. Namie gives his, I do Q&A with him. He answers email questions and things like that. So each episode has that. And then whatever experience, sometimes I explain the music that's happening with the podcast and why it came about, what the lesson is in the lyric, or what the prayer is in it. The current one that just went up, at least in episode 82, is Charlene Kahlo is a very well-known pastry chef in the Cleveland area. She's renowned. She's an artisan. She's really a world-class pastry chef. And because of that, she's dealt with carrying cakes that are like literally, 100, 200 pounds and huge bags of sugar and flour. And because of that, through the decades, she didn't realize the damage she was doing to her body. There was something called, now I'm going to forget the name again, and I apologize for this. It's for a woman when internal parts start are no longer internal but external, where things come out of you. Mm. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
And I can't remember. And it's a female issue.
I'm no help there.
And all the women say, oh, you mean, yeah, and there's a P in it, and there's an L in it, and I kind of try to remember the name of it, and but anyway, bottom line, it was severe. It was severe that internal parts were now outside, basically, of her. And she was scheduled for surgery up here at Fairview Hospital. She had a female doctor ready to do the surgery. The day was set. The night before, she goes to see Dr. Namy. She's known Dr. Namy for a long, long time. He prays for her, prays over her. She feels heat. She feels the churning. She feels movement. She's going to bed at night. She still feels movement. She wakes up in the morning, and her own examination says the problem is now gone. What was external is now back internal again through prayer. She goes to the hospital. Her doctor comes in. She says, I understand we have some sort of issue here. What is it? She says, all you have to do is examine me now, doctor, and you tell me what you want to do. Doctor examines, and she says, well, we do have a situation here. And she says, Charlene, am I your doctor? And Charlene says, yes, whatever you say goes. She says, then, and she looked at her staff in the room, in the operating room, and she says, then I am here to say that this surgery will not be happening, because your body is no longer a fit for that surgery. And then she said, I want you to go back to Dr. Namy. There's a 10% residual that is still there. Have him take care of that, and then come back to me. So she went back to Dr. Namy, prayed a little bit more. It's now completely back to what it should be, and life goes on for Charlene Cato. And the amazing thing, Tony, about this, and that's why I call it Blind Faith Live, real people, real miracles. These are real people. These are real miracle stories. But the greatest part of all is not the miracle. The greatest part, I mean, that's God's mercy. Whether it was 2,000 years ago or today, the miracle gets your attention. It makes you go, what? What the heck is that? That leads you to, well, who's this guy that's praying? And who is he leading me to? And it's always leading us to Christ. It's always leading us to Christ and the truth of Christ. Because evil has never healed anybody.
That is that's really exciting, and we have a lot of people who listen who may be older, and when you mention the word podcast, it kind of scares them a little bit, but if they go to Blind Faith Live and they click on an episode, it's just going to open right there for them, and they can listen right through their computer.
Right, it's a play button. You just hit the play button, and I've separated it out. There are complete episodes, plus there are just the miracle moments, and there are Isam's insights, so there's kind of like three different things that go up during the course of the week, but each week there's a brand new episode with everything in it. Yeah. It's exciting. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Well, the podcast is called Blind Faith Live, and you can get to it at blindfaithlive.com. Our guest is Philip Keller, and Trapp, it's just been really great having you on here with us today, and we'll check in with you again, I'm sure, sometime in the very near future here on Finding God's Grace. Thank you so much for being with us.
God bless you, Tony. I appreciate it.
God bless you, too.